Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
On today's Part of My Take, we have the fastest 2 minutes, Week 7 NFL. We're talking a little college football, big upsets. We also have Dave Damashek, our good friend, back on the show. Talk about his Steelers and some other stuff that's going on around the NFL. Football Guy of the Week and a special Part of My Take science experiment. Can you spit with a mouth guard in your mouth? Because we have to find out if Rondo versus Chris Paul was their spit. Before, whether you're searching for a home to buy or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can find the home that's just right for you. You can favorite homes, share listings with others, and even schedule tours with a local Redfin agent all in the app. When you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. So download the Redfin app today to get started. Boy! Boy! Now in the street there is violence, and not a lot of work to be done. No place to hang out or washing. And then I can't blame all on the sun. Oh no, we're gonna rock down to Electric Avenue. And then we'll take it higher. Oh, we're gonna rock down to
Electric Avenue. It's Pardon My Take, presented by Bar Stool Sports.
Welcome to Pardon My Take. Today is Monday, October 22nd, week 7. What? We start in Indianapolis, where the Bills' gray-haired Derek Anderson Cooper insisted his 3 interceptions were fake news and advocated heavily for more freedom of the press coverage. T.Y. Paris Hilton was caught on tape taking shots to his chest while laying on his back in the end zone.
That's hot.
The Bills' running game stalled as they desperately missed the leadership of Nicole Richie Incognito.
That's so hot.
That's so hot.
Amish Andrew Luck keeps living the simple life and winning football games. Colts 37, Bills 5.
Whoop, 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 whoop. Across the pond in foggy London town, where King Derek Henry VIII matched up against Philip the Rivers Thames in a global affair, Mike Williams Wallace stood 10 feet tall and blew fireballs out of his arse, and he and his army of superchargers took down England. They say your best ability is your vrability, and the Titans lost at the goal line going for 2. Maybe time for Tennessee to call up Mike Pence for some conversion therapy. Chargers 20, Titans 19.
Whoop!
Some spread.
Fumble!
In the Windy City we go, where the NFL's best running quarterback, Mitchell Michael Trevick, had Bears fans hammering the dog at +2. But my personal friend, Tom Terrific, who was in the stands when a young Schwam called the catch in San Francisco, you might remember that, Teej, said, luck be a Brady tonight. Trubisky had 2 interceptions in this game, but 2 wrongs don't make a white. Kevin, that is, and his last second gasp to win the game fell short at the goal line. Patriots survive even without Rob Gronkowski, who is kept out of the game after suffering a twerking injury. And every dance club in Boston is wishing Rob a speedy recovery for his back, 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 back. Patriots 38, Bears 31.
Whoop, whoop, whoop. Rumbling, stumbling, bumbling. Tick, tick, tick. Next up, the city of brotherly love, where Eric Tara Reed went wild on Julie Ertz's husband. The Eagles fought hard with a defense-offense combo of Long Cox and Small Wood, but Carolina had 9 lives on Sunday, and in a touching tribute to Kim Kardashian, the Cats went down early and then came from behind. I hope you hit up that PayPal, because my free Cam Newton put on a show for the boys. Panthers 21, Eagles 17.
What?
That's a great video, Swam.
Darrell John Maryland. Everyone stinks in the NFC yeast infection, but that's why they play the game, Teej. Sean Tommy Lee tried to steer the ship with his big rod, Marinelli. But Adrian Peterson took out his switch and beat that D all afternoon long. On the other side of the ball, Ryan Pamela Anderson was really good in the sack, and the Redskins' defense forced Ezekiel Elliott Spitzer to resign, sir. Resign, sir.
Sir. Sir.
Resign, sir. Sir.
Resign.
The game came down to the final kick, but as often the case, Brett Bill Maher was too far left. R-words 20, Cowboys 17. He's matriculating the ball down the field.
Down in Duval, where the Jaguars were poised for a second-half comeback after Blake Bortles led them with zero interceptions in the first half until Cody Kessler, the worst quarterback of all time, lost the game for Jacksonville. There are no jokes to be had in this game, as Jacksonville seems lost at sea without a boat. Texans 20, Cody Kessler 7.
Next stop, the Meadowlands, where the NFC North's leading Minnesota Vikings take on the Jets, and Kirk Cousins is a cowboy on a field horse he rides, and Sam Darnold, complete a drive. The lights went out on Broadway Sam as he threw three more interceptions than Blake Bortles did, and the Jets are looking at a mess this Monday morning in their Todd toilet bowls. Vikings 37, Jets 17. Whoop!
Standing on the corner of Jameis Winston, Tampa, Florida, such a fine sight to see. It's a Todd, my lord, in a stolen Ford, and he's about to lose his job as OC. Come on, Haley, your offense is failing. Just let Hugh be Hugh, and it will be smooth sailing.
Tampa Bay 26, Cleveland Browns 23. In Baltimore, home of Omar and The Wire, Drew Brees hit up the bubbles screen all day, shooting up the Ravens' defense. The only IV drugs the Ravens were using were the Roman numerals at the end of Willie Snead's nameplate. We now go live to Justin Tucker's thoughts after the crucial mixed extra point.
Shit!
Sean Payton improves to 10-1 in his last 11 off the bye, making it immortal Jason Whitlock. Saints 24, Ravens 23.
Last but certainly not least, Sunday Night Football, where Showtime Mahomes crushed the Cincinnati Bengals, and we have him live in studio for his post-game comments. Showtime!
You know, I just really like playing under the lights. You get to just watch the score just light up the board. It's such a real treat. It was an up-and-down night, and man, boy, howdy, I tell you what, I sure hope all the good people in Kansas City are watching at home on their respective televisions. We're made aware of the fact my dad played baseball, and I love him very deeply. And I'd also like to announce I'm going to be starting up a business venture. It's going to be a phone sex line called Balls Deep. It's a little graphic, but very erotic.
All right, week 7 in the books. Boys, we got to get serious for a minute.
Uh-oh.
We got to get serious.
Is it time to circle the wagons?
No, it's, yes, it's time to circle our wagons. We have the benching of the boat.
It's temporary.
People are expecting us to address it at the top of the show, so we will.
He's being docked.
Yes.
He's docking right now.
Cody Kessler came in, and let me just say this. Cody Kessler, that guy stinks. Throwing the ball over the place, fumbling. He recovered his fumble, but still, interceptions. I get it. You got to maybe sit down the boat for a minute. It was the engine needs a little tune-up. Mm-hmm. But good news, the next game for the Jaguars is in London, and Blake Bortles owns London. He's 3-0 all-time in England.
You know, back in the day, there was only one way to get to London, and that was on a boat.
True.
So historically, boats have great track records going between England and the United States.
Yeah,
all of them.
Do you see they're building Titanic 2?
Yeah, we'll get to that.
It would be so fucking awesome. I know you're not supposed to root for, like, death and all that, blah, 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 like, be a good person. Mm-hmm. But if the Titanic 2 could somehow sink, it would be the greatest moment ever.
I hope
because you're an asshole for riding on the Titanic 2.
I hope they write God himself could not sink the ship on the bottom of this one, too.
Yeah.
Are they going to sail the same route?
I hope so.
They should.
Probably not as many icebergs.
Probably. Well, yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah. Smooth sailing.
So
now.
Global warming, actually good.
Yes.
It would have saved like 2,000 people.
Yeah.
If they'd all been burning styrofoam at the start of the century.
All these rich people. All right. So we have the boat. Listen, we know. We hear it. We are on Twitter. I'd say 50% of the time to talk about football and then 50% of the time to defend Blake Bortles. So we hear it. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? A little minor comeback for a major setback for a major comeback.
Kesslered the shit out of it. Everyone's saying that.
Yeah, it's actually the new phrase. Like, oh shit, I stubbed my toe. I've really kesslered that one.
Kesselled myself up big time.
Yeah, I pooped my pants. I kesselled it.
Yeah. So yeah, you know what? I saw enough out of Cody Kessler to know that he's not the answer.
Gross.
He's really
gross
bad.
PFT. He's gross.
Really bad.
He's very gross.
They should actually only be allowed to play him after midnight on HBO because it's bad. It's not safe for kids to view. Yeah, it's gross.
It's the shit that like you parent lock your YouTube so that people can't watch Cody Kessler highlights.
Here's the deal, Blake. You know, sometimes you gotta sit him down, and he needs some time to collect his thoughts.
I'm fine.
When he starts overthinking things, and that's when it's time to put him on the sidelines. But he responds to adversity.
Yes.
You'll remember last preseason, Chad Henne, a much better quarterback than Cody Kessler, tried to take Bortles' job
from
him.
Well, that bar is low. But yeah.
Yeah, but I'm saying much
better. We're better quarterbacks than Cody Kessler.
Yeah, Pat Mahomes throwing with his left foot is better than Cody Kessler.
Yeah, but we're fine. Blake Bortles is going to be fine, everyone. All the haters, get your hate in. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
This is when we take out a little notepad and we take names down for those that did not believe in Blake Bortles.
Yeah, we're going to create a Wikipedia page of noted Blake Bortles haters.
Yes.
And losers, of which there are many.
The other stories, let's whip around the league. Hugh Jackson has decided that the problem with the Browns has nothing to do with Hugh Jackson and everything to do with the offensive play calling. So he's going to wrestle away, literally has to wrestle it away from Todd Haley. Hugh Jackson also doesn't remember that he was the one calling the plays in 2016 and 2017.
Yeah, so,
yeah, so when they won one game in two years, that was on him. Hugh Jackson is the ultimate. Let me ask you a question. Okay, all right.
But he knows how to keep a job.
Okay,
so
that's
like
true.
this is actually a good step for his career that he's making. Maybe he'll last another like 2 weeks.
Okay, that's fair. You are right. He has staying power.
Yes.
But what?
He's like herpes.
What is Hugh Jackson's redeeming quality? Because from where I'm sitting, he's objectively a very bad football coach. Okay?
Yep.
And on top of that, he just blames everyone else when shit goes wrong.
His redeeming quality is that he is he's the only person in the world that has Hugh Jackson's body type.
Mm.
He's a little unique snowflake. He's like an amorphous blob that kind of fills out whatever space he's in.
I think he's a very nice guy.
Yes, he
seems like a very nice person and a good guy and like someone that you're like, okay, that's a good guy. You can't say bad things about him specifically. But in terms of being the head coach, having shit go wrong, and then immediately saying, well, I'm going to have to take over play calling. Because you want to essentially, maybe that's why he hired Todd Haley, because he's like, you know what, I know that I can just throw him under the bus, and no one's going to take Todd Haley's side in an argument.
Yes, he's a very convenient fall guy to have.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes literally a fall guy when he's trying to walk outside of a bar.
Right, absolutely, yes.
But yeah, Hugh, his redeeming quality is he's very good at coaching for ties. I don't know if he does it intentionally. Maybe he's a genius, but it's like every game is
overtime.
Like, is like a puzzle for him to try to figure out how he can tie it.
Yes.
So he's like the George Washington Carver of figuring out how to use ties in different ways.
He's Zach Galifianakis, verbal meme. Zach Galifianakis looking at the board with numbers going everywhere, and except it's just all the numbers are ties.
Yes. I think, okay, so, you know, we've discussed this ever since week one of Hard Knocks, knowing that there was going to be like some Shakespearean battle going on between Greg Williams, Todd Haley, and Hugh Jackson to control the Cleveland Browns,
right.
Which saying that out loud is actually pretty funny.
But it's also very accurate.
But there is a dark horse candidate that I think America could all get behind, and that is Bob Wiley.
Ooh, yeah.
If there's ever a coach that can go with his gut, that you should trust his gut, it's Bob Wiley.
Then people are going to start saying Bob Wiley isn't presidential looking.
Well, I don't care.
He's got to lose some weight.
You know what? He's Cleveland looking.
No, he is. I don't think he has to lose any weight. I love Bob Wiley just the way he is.
I want him to get bigger.
Yes, I would too. I was seconds, inches away from maybe the greatest moment of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin White getting stuck at the goal line on a last second Hail Mary. Now, the Patriots Bears, Hank, chime in whenever you want. I told you guys this while it was happening. I was less mad that the Bears were losing to the Patriots because when the season schedule came out, I was like, yeah, we'll probably lose to the Patriots. I was just more sitting watching that game being like, how the fuck did we lose to Brock Osweiler?
Mm-hmm.
Because that loss is going to stick with me forever. But, yeah, the Bears have some defensive things to work out. Let's just say that.
Yeah, so
underneath passes work pretty well.
So you guys have lost to Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, And Brock Osweiler.
Brock Osweiler.
Okay, yeah.
One of these things is not like the other.
No, it's a three-headed monster.
Yeah. So 3-3. Mitch is the best running quarterback in the league.
He is pretty, yeah.
Thick Trubisky. And Khalil Mack needs to get healthy, and Leonard Floyd needs to just like, hey, man, you're a first-round draft pick. Start acting like it.
Yeah, I mean, so the Patriots are obviously very, very good. I think they're very beatable, though, without Gronk.
Well, their defense is beatable, but they still have so many weapons. They have, like, so many guys that it's just...
They're kind of always like this.
Right, and every single play was the same. It was basically Tom Brady had time, and then there was a guy running underneath who could catch the ball and make a play. Mm-hmm. And it was that all afternoon. And then every now and then they'd throw it over the top to Josh Gordon and kill you.
Sometimes you forget just how angry Julian Edelman is all the time when he's on the field.
Shout out Jules.
That's a guy that you would absolutely hate to play against, but you probably love if he's on your team.
Yeah.
Because like he's just like a little Tasmanian devil.
Oh yeah.
He just attacks. He's like Matt. I don't know what it is. You put him on a football field and he's like just like throwing red meat in front of a
dog. He attacks yards.
Yes.
He is violent towards yards.
Yeah, he hates yards.
To take yards, but he hates the idea of losing yards.
No, he attacks yards because he like hates land that he doesn't have yet.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
He likes having yards.
Yes.
But
he wants more yards.
Yes, he hates not having enough
yards.
I'm
happy we figured out this yard situation with Julian Edelman. The Eagles lost in a head scratcher. They were up 17-0 at home against the Panthers. They lost 21-17. And Doug Peterson after the game said, the pressure is off.
Oh, okay.
Because they won the Super Bowl. The pressure is off. Which I feel like that's basically like when we tell people, hey, subscription service is coming, don't freak out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're probably going to freak out.
Yeah.
The pressure's off. The pressure's very much on. When you say the pressure's off, you're admitting there's a lot of pressure.
Yeah. Offensively, they're offensive to me to watch.
Yes.
A lot of people are asking, is it time for Nick Foles to come back?
No one's saying that.
I've heard many people say
it. No one is saying that.
They're just like, I don't know what it is. They're a boring team offensively. They don't have like any of the creativity they had last year. Doug Peterson, he did the Philly special. There were all the memes of him carrying his balls around in a wheelbarrow.
Mm-hmm.
I think he read his own press clippings a little bit. He's like, you know what? I got big balls. Mm-hmm. And, I'm just the big ball guy, and I don't have to prove anything
anymore.
I'm
the big ball guy. Yeah. They are a quintessential Super Bowl hangover. Because mm-hmm. every game, they're up 17-0. They're like, oh, we got this. And if you asked yourself, would you want to face the Philadelphia Eagles in a big game? The answer is no,
mm-hmm.
right? Because if they get up for it, they still have all that talent.
Yeah, their defense is really good, too.
Right, and they just but it's these games that, you know, they think they've won, and they just lose them. And so it's weird. And Doug Peterson, saying the pressure's off, maybe that was actually a smart move to put the pressure on him and not his players.
Interesting.
Because everyone's like, that's a stupid thing to say.
Maybe Chris Long gave away too much of his salary, and now he can't afford to go to a gym anymore.
Mm.
He lost his membership. That's now he's out of shape.
He retired.
Yeah, that's right.
We broke that.
Exclusively reported by Part of My Take.
That's
if he won the lottery, though, is what it was. Do you know what I would do if I won the lottery?
What?
I'd buy the R-Words.
Ooh.
Can we get
no way Dan Snyder would sell them.
I would make
also him. The lottery definitely doesn't have enough money. The R-Words are probably worth $2 billion.
Okay, I would just here's what I would do. I'd take all the money and then hire a bunch of people to kidnap Dan Snyder.
Put it on
and then I would assume
by the R-Words. You could buy like the Cardinals.
I don't want the Cardinals.
We could fire Steve Wilkes.
Ooh, yeah, but that'd be fun.
Yeah, that's good first move.
Yeah.
You ready for a crazy stat to both prove how good the Rams are and how the Buffalo Bills are struggling now that Josh Allen's hurt?
Yep.
Todd Gurley has 7 more points than the entire Buffalo Bills team.
Oh, my God.
The Rams are just like, what do you do about the Rams?
Listen.
There's a Rams problem.
What happened this week was so disrespectful to Nathan Peterman.
Yeah.
Like, how do you put Derek Anderson in there and deprive me of the pleasure I get from watching Nathan Peterman throw pick sixes?
I told you, PFD, I want to donate. This is my official donation of my brain when I pass to science to go back and try to figure out what compelled me to bet on Derek Anderson at 12:59 p.m. right before kickoff. I saw the +8 mm-hmm. and I said, Derek Anderson, he's won some games.
Yeah, he's
ish.
You know what it was? He's very well rested.
Yeah.
And so
very well rested.
His arm is fine.
But that was an all-time dumb decision. I can't. It's one of those things like when you were a kid,
mm-hmm.
when your parents are like, why'd you do this? And you just stand there like, I have no idea. I'm a kid. I'm 33, and someone could come on and be like, hey, why'd you bet on Derek Anderson? I'm like, I have no idea.
Right.
I just did, and it was a really stupid thing to do.
I don't know what it is about. It's like the Bucks and the Bills, and there are a couple other teams in there that have just like seemingly a never-ending supply of Jake Delhommes.
Yes.
That are 43 years old and come in and just throw interceptions.
Yeah. Can't move, can throw like 8 yards downfield, and most of them are interceptions.
Yeah. I was just, you know, I'm upset. I want Josh Allen to get back, but if I'm not going to have Josh Allen, I at least need Peterman. The thing about Peterman, when he throws interceptions, they get returned for touchdowns. You get the ball right back.
True.
And you get to get back on the horse.
True.
When Derek Anderson does it, they get tackled. And
yeah,
it's just, it sucks because then your defense gets winded.
It's a flaw in his system.
Yeah.
We also have, let's see.
Oh,
how
about the Ravens-Saints game?
Yes,
that was
great game.
That was great. We both bet on the, well, I convinced Big Cat to bet on the Ravens.
Yeah. Dumb. I love the Saints
which
all day.
Would have been great if Justin Tucker hadn't missed an extra point
so,
at the end of the game.
I was thinking about this. Justin Tucker, I think, is the only kicker in all of the NFL where you can't actually blame him. And I know that sounds crazy because he missed an extra point that he hits. He literally has never missed one.
Yeah.
But he has also won the Ravens some ridiculous games where he's hitting 55-yarders. So he's the one guy where it's like, you know what? You were due for one, and all in all, I think you're ahead still in your career.
Yeah, he's fine. Well, I mean, Mike Vanderjack. You remember that?
Yeah.
He missed that kick against the Steelers, and then he got liquored up and forgot how to kick footballs.
Yes.
I hope that doesn't happen to Justin, because like, he's a fun kicker to watch.
Opera singer.
Really?
Yeah.
I hadn't heard about
Rick
that.
Rick Riley did a piece on him.
I'm sure he did several.
A billion times.
Yeah, that he then copied and pasted into a new article about Justin. Yeah, Justin Tucker is the one kicker that I think would actually probably be worth a first-round pick.
Ooh, I don't know about that.
He's really good. You know what I love?
Yeah, I mean, second. I'll give you a second.
Here's what I love so much is the new technology that they have that tells you how far the kick would have been good from.
Yes.
They need to use more of that.
Yes.
And Justin Tucker's are always like 77 yards.
Yeah, it's insane. The Vikings are actual wagon.
I want to talk real quick about Sean Payton because we mentioned how we don't like watching Sean Payton when he's outside.
Yep.
But I've noticed he coaches very weirdly when he's on the road. It's like I don't know exactly how to describe it, but somebody who like – when they're around friends, they show off. Like when they're with their parents, they like act differently around their friends to like show off to them or whatever. That's what Sean Payton does when he gets out of his house, when he gets out of the Superdome.
Yep.
He just stops punting.
Yes.
He forgets it. He like
Taysom
tells
Hill.
His punter to sit down. He puts Taysom Hill out there. And Taysom Hill is like Tim Tebow, except he's better at everything Tim Tebow does.
Yes.
He's a better punt protector. He's a better passer. He's a better runner. He's better at not having sex because he's a full Mormon.
Right. He probably also has like, you know, he's probably a good teammate and doesn't try to convert. Well, no, he probably does convert, try to convert people.
We don't know.
We don't know. Tim Tebow still can give what's it called when you cut the penis?
Oh,
circumcised little kids in the Philippines.
That's very true.
I haven't seen Taysom Hill do that.
Well, we don't know.
We
don't know where he went on his mission.
You know what's funny about the Saints? It just proves how ridiculous the NFL is and how we overreact to everything. Because the Saints are 5-1 and they lost to the Bucks week one. And they barely beat the Browns week two.
Yep.
And we all were like, holy shit, the Saints are in deep trouble. They're just 5-1 now and look like the second best team in the NFC, behind the Rams. So it's just funny how we overreact to everything, ourselves included. I'm the king of overreaction. But now it feels like, and we were talking about the Vikings, it feels like everything is starting to take shape where the Vikings go to New York, they play the Jets, and they're supposed to win that game, and they kick the shit out of them.
Yeah.
And Adam Thielen is an absolute monster.
Yeah. I would say the Saints, the Panthers look pretty good too.
Yep.
The last couple weeks.
Yep.
And then the Rams are just shit pumping everybody.
Yeah. And like teams, this is where we get to the part of the schedule where teams that should lose games, like the Dolphins, they lost.
Mm-hmm.
Teams that should lose games.
It's comforting sometimes.
Right.
You're like, okay, I understand what's going on this
week. We're starting to understand the landscape of the NFL, the 2018 NFL season, because the first month and a half has been absolutely wild.
Yeah, it's just crazy. And then Larry, unfortunately, he pushed on the Browns bet today that he had. So we made Larry do Soggy Sorrows, which is he just swam in his tank more.
Yeah, he swam. So he did Soggy Sorrows for everyone.
Yes.
For the Blake Bortles and the Bears.
And the Bears.
And all that stuff. Yeah. He did it all.
That would have been nice for you, though, if the Bears had won, huh?
Kevin White. Basically, I have died on that hill, the Kevin White hill.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the only body there. It's actually just a hill in, like, the middle of nowhere, and someone walks by and they're like,
what's this old skeleton that's been, looks like he died 5 years ago?
Yep.
And there's only one of them. And then, and that's me.
And then in the London game, I love these Sundays where you can start watching football like 9 o'clock in the morning and you don't have to move at all. Yeah, Mike Vrabel, I figured him out. He just hates ties. He thinks ties are worse than losses.
Yes.
And so he...
I actually am okay with what he did. I am. I know that people were going after him because the Titans kind of dominated the second half. But if you... The problem... The reasoning that Mike Vrabel used was sound. The issue is the execution of any Titans play on offense is terrible just because their offense is terrible.
Right.
So that's the part where it falls apart.
It was a stupid play call, too, I think. I didn't like the play call.
They don't have good play calls. We had this conversation.
Yeah,
it's
true.
A stupid play call. Well, I'm pretty sure the offensive playbook for the Titans is like dumb play call, even dumber play call. Play call where Marcus Mariota doesn't have anyone to throw to because everyone's covered insanely well. Have you ever watched a Titans game? No receiver gets open ever.
Yeah.
And then Marcus Mariota has to basically run and get smashed every single play.
I would have just liked to see a tie in that game for the Phillip Rivers bolo tie memes.
Right. And also because, you know, England fans, they love ties.
They do.
That's their favorite.
What a result.
Yeah. I also have a theory that I think it might be the cameras in Wembley, but play action passes always seem to work better in England, and they always happen slower. Circle that.
Okay, it's the cameramen because they're British probably.
Yeah,
and they're like, oh mate, oh,
just circle it. Just circle that, and you look for it.
You've deigned to deceive me.
Yeah, just look for it. Okay, and also the grass is longer, so
yeah,
I don't
like that grass.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to our football guys of the week. We have an awesome, awesome group of them. Before we do that, a quick word from our friends.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
We got some good ones.
First up, one of my favorite storylines that happens with Alabama, because Alabama, Nick Saban, he just demolishes teams. It's actually getting to the point where I would prefer if CBS would stop airing Alabama games, because it's just a waste of a time slot. Like, The
first quarter was awesome, though.
The Alabama-Tennessee game, there was a moment in the first quarter where it was 28-0, and Tennessee had minus 22 yards, and Alabama had 200. So Alabama beat Tennessee, and as is tradition, when Alabama beats Tennessee, they smoke cigars. And Butch Jones, who is Nick Saban's intern, who is also getting paid $200,000 a month by Tennessee, was in the locker room smoking a cigar.
I've been not coaching the Tennessee Volunteers for free like a sucker.
Yes.
For the last 33 years of my life. Now, good for him.
Good for him, and he also got a Gatorade bath, which is hilarious, as an intern.
I bet Saban was pissed off about that.
Yeah, well, no. I think Saban loves to troll other people because he knows... I think Saban just knows that, like, Alabama will always be on top forever.
Yeah.
Until LSU... pizza.
He just sees it as a waste of resources, though.
Yeah.
Like, that Gatorade could have gone to fueling another super player for me.
True, true. All right, so next up, speaking of LSU, we're going to be there. LSU, Alabama, Death Valley.
I can't wait. I really can't wait.
Can I just say that LSU, I think they're on to something, by the way, because it was a classic trap game. They beat Georgia at home, number two team in the country. Then they got to play Mississippi State the next week. They bring out the helmets to change colors.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get trapped when you bring out like a New Jersey setup.
Yeah, it was a mood ring. They were wearing mood ring helmets for like how angry they were at you and how badly they were going to destroy your life.
Right.
So it's purple.
As Fabrizio Fettuccini told you on Friday.
That's true. Yeah.
That is true. Fabrizio Fettuccini also said that.
Look at this helmet. When the helmet turns purple, that means you're about to whoop somebody's ass.
When the helmet turns purple, it's go Tigers.
All right. So,
but yeah, LSU, they are a football guy factory.
They've
figured out a way to just, everything that they do is football guy down there.
Every single thing. So the LSU strength coach before the game was caught headbutting all his players to the point where he had a scar on his forehead going full on. That's also a way to avoid a trap game. just start headbutting everyone and getting them pumped up.
Yeah, it's going to shock you to realize this, but their strength coach was a stocky man who had a shaved head and a beard.
Yes, I love
it. So didn't see that coming.
I love it. And he, you know, he's Coach O's best friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know that. You know, Coach O has like a he hires his strength coach. He's like, first order of business, I want to be able to bench press 450 pounds
mm-hmm.
by December.
Yeah, and he probably can.
Yeah, he absolutely can. All right, next up we have Tyler Trent. This was an awesome story from the weekend. So it's a Purdue student. He had to drop out of school because he is fighting cancer, and he's been fighting cancer. I think this is his fourth time doing it. And he was able to make it to the game. He's been, like, very, very sick, but he was able to make it to the game. Purdue has an unreal upset under the lights, West Lafayette, and then he gets to go into the locker room after, and the team was like, this is for you. And it was just – it was why sports are cool.
Yeah. No,
you know what I mean?
It was great, and it was an awesome win. I loved seeing Ohio State get their asses kicked.
Yes.
And it was like, it was two completely different coaches. You have Urban Meyer and Jeff Brohm.
Oh,
and Jeff Brohm, if you know anything about this guy, so Urban.
Do I have a heartbeat?
Urban
yes.
Yes. I'm going to play
is
in the
game.
Is
this football? Yes.
Urban Meyer fakes head injuries.
Yes.
Jeff Brohm fakes not having a head injury.
Right, correct.
That's all.
Polar opposites. Yep. So this was an awesome story. Tyler Trent, hope you're doing well. Hope you beat cancer again. You're going to beat cancer again. Fuck cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one, we have our good friend Bo Pelini's brother, Carl Pelini. He's back. Remember he...
Of course.
There was things, but he's back. And that was like the yada, yada, yada.
Uh-huh.
Seinfeld. There are things... Things happen.
He's an angry guy. He's got anger issues.
And
but
there's drugs, allegedly, whatever. Anyway, we love Bo, so yeah. We'll just leave it at that. He is the interim head coach of Bowling Green. If you remember, Bowling Green is the school that used their coaching. Hiring process was to Google the top assistant for Texas Tech.
Mm-hmm.
And no, it was actually
they Googled
who scored the most points.
Which school had the best offense last year in college football? And then they were like, okay, we need to hire somebody that's on that staff.
Yes. So didn't work out. So Carl Pelini is taking over for the fired coach. And his first order of business is he took the names off of the back of everyone's jersey.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just playing for Bowling Green. They did lose 49-14, but that's irrelevant.
You have to earn your name.
Yes.
I like that.
You got to earn your name back.
That's. I think LSU did that this weekend, too, didn't they? No names on the back?
I'm not sure.
And then UAB had names of
the children.
Sick children
for the
on
kids.
The back, right?
Shout out to UAB. There, I also was searching beforehand to do some research for the show, and someone wrote a story, is Ohio big enough for two Pelinis? What a question.
Oh, that is a great
question.
What
a question to be asking.
I don't know if it is.
I don't think so.
I don't think there's a state in the world that can handle two Pelinis.
I don't think so. We got to separate our Pelinis.
Those two guys, if they played against each other, if Youngstown played against, was it Bowling Green?
Yes.
I'm sure that there would be, they would forget that they were brothers.
Yes.
They would actually not recognize the face across the field.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It would just be when a dog sees itself in the mirror and gets angry at it because it's mm-hmm. like this, I'm intimidated a little bit because it looks like me. That's what would be going on.
We got to get Bo back on.
Yes.
I fucking love Bo. He's the ultimate football guy. I just like, I imagine Bo Pelini just sleeping with like a scowl on his face.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a football guy. He needs another shot at a big time school.
He'll get one.
He needs one. We should start that
campaign. Ohio State.
Okay, so let's go to our who's back, because that's a good segue. I'll start. Who's back? Urban Meyer's sad faces on the sideline because Ohio State lost a game that they should have won.
Mm-hmm.
They were minus 12. They went to West Lafayette. If you remember, they lost in Iowa last year, and people are saying, not me, people are saying, Urban Meyer, can he get his team ready for the inferior opponents? I don't know. I'm not saying, but this is now becoming a trend for Urban Meyer.
Listen.
And I've been – people be like, oh, you're just hating on Ohio State. Look, Ohio State's program, they're a football factory.
Let me jump in.
They beat Wisconsin all the time. Like, I'm not – this isn't a place where I'm like, oh, man, we're on the same level. But Urban Meyer is losing these games.
When you're talking about a big college like this, you need to change your pronunciation. It's program.
It's a program.
It's a program, and he has a big program on his hands.
And it's rolling, except for when they have to play that like weird opponent away from Columbus in the middle of October, because I think it was actually next weekend last year that they lost to Iowa and got the shit kicked out of them. And this was a shit kicking, by the way. This wasn't like Purdue, plucky underdog, beats them with a fluke play, they put it on Ohio State.
I'm going to withhold judgment. I think that all of us probably owe it to Urban Meyer to wait until Tuesday when he puts out a statement explaining why it wasn't his fault that they lost this game. And then we should still withhold judgment until Thursday when he issues a statement clarifying his previous statement as to why they lost.
But I just love watching his face on the sideline when he can't believe that they're actually losing. And Kirk Herbstreit, did you hear? He just could not say the word Urban Meyer has done a bad job coaching this game. Mm. He couldn't say it. Mm. Now, me, as an unbiased journalist, I would never cape for one of my guys who might be going through some time and get benched for Cody Kessler.
No, this is what our job is. We call it like we see it, and shame on Kirk Herbstreit.
Shame. You should be better, sir.
Absolutely. You should whip yourself on the back, walk through town ringing a bell, and just shame yourself, Kirk. Do the right thing.
My other who's back was just England fans. I love England football fans. It's every single time they show it, it's like it's basically the football is family commercials that Roger Goodell, his wet dream, where it's just you look in the crowds, and there are 40 different jerseys and throwbacks and all different teams, and then a couple guys dressed up in lightning bolts and dolphin masks and weird shit.
Yeah, and they're all like weird players of weird teams. It's like three guys wearing
a lot of kickers.
Yeah, three guys wearing Keith Bullock jerseys.
Yes, yes.
You've got like a Vinny Testaverde New York Jets jersey out there. And then the best by far are the Jaguars fans that get dressed up like they're going to a circus.
Yes.
Like they're kitty cats in a circus. I love those guys.
I do too. I love them. So that's my who's back. What do you got? Hank.
My who's back is Boban.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
His clips of him playing are, I mean, I remember people talking about him last year, but this year it's like surreal.
He's not of this world.
It's like he's playing on a 7-foot hoop.
Yes.
Have we looked into it? Are we sure that he's a human?
Yeah, he's a human.
I think he's just
Boban. I just looked into it. He's human.
I think he's like the next missing link.
Got it.
He's hyper evolved.
He is awesome to watch. When he dunks without leaving the ground, it's incredible.
Yeah, it's like when a cat gets up onto like a really high surface and it's like, how did I get up here? And it's just like looking around. Boban's standing on the ground holding the rim and he's just like looking around. Is this legal? Am I allowed to do this?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, it's like when you're playing like a family dinner with your cousins, your little cousins.
Yeah,
and you're just dominating pretty much everyone.
I looked up some sabermetrics on Boban the other day, and he is his wingspan. You guys want to guess what it is? So he's 7'3",
7'9",
7'10". His wingspan is 7'10".
Holy shit!
Yes, his wingspan is taller than anybody else in the world right now.
It's insane.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean, though? If you're 7'3" and your wingspan 7'10",
it means your arms are really long. You probably got a big cock.
Yes. And have you seen his hands?
Yeah,
and his huge hands.
Huge
big
hands.
Dong. Well, no matter how big his unit is, it's going to look tiny in those hands.
Yeah, true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is that your only one?
Is that it, Hank?
Are we doing whoops?
Hank didn't prepare, so he only had one. My first one was going to be the Titanic being back, but we got to that.
Yeah, we talked about that already.
I think we covered the ground on that one. So my second one is going to be mice.
So your only one?
No. I have another one, and it's mice.
Okay.
No, that's the first one.
Mice are back.
Yeah.
This is a very personal anecdote.
Yeah, this is very relatable. Mice are back in PFT's apartment.
I've got these goddamn mice, and I'm trying to do everything that I can to kill them. I keep a pretty clean apartment, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and you probably wouldn't believe me if you looked at my desk. You're like, there's no way this guy lives anywhere
out.
But a pigsty.
Yeah.
But it sold out.
Yeah, I did sell out big time. So I'm trying to kill this mouse. So if anybody there has a suggestion for how to kill a mouse.
Wait, this is another this is another PFT looking for a free amp?
Yeah, send me.
You just want an exterminator?
Send me one mouse.
So who's back has just become PFT and wants free shit?
Here's the thing.
Sad. Sad. I don't come prepared. Sorry, I actually look up for who's back and not just deal with my personal problems.
If anybody has a sweet guitar that they can give me.
My who's back is electricity bills.
If anyone has a Pelican,
I spent my Saturday, maybe it was my Friday, I forget. Weekends are just, they're not real. So I was sitting on my couch, this mouse comes out, and Leroy is worthless. He just lays there and watches. He tries to play with the mouse just by like lifting his paws up and waving at it. The mouse brought one of Leroy's treats out to him, put it down in front of him, and then walked away like a peace offering. So they're friends.
Yeah, no, this happened. Stella, when I had rats in my apartment in Chicago, Stella had like a little, the rats and Stella all like kept, Stella walked out of the room one day and she was like, she was eating like a lollipop. And I was like, where the fuck did you get that? And then I looked and the rats had a little, like a co-op where they put all their shit where Stella could go shopping.
Uh-huh.
So that's dogs. Dogs are fucking assholes when it comes to that.
Yeah, it's awful. So
it's the only point the cats have.
Trying to get rid of this damn mouse.
So it sounds to me like you're getting outsmarted by a mouse.
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay.
That's 100%.
That's a hit. That's a hit to your rep.
That's fine. Well, the mice don't have takes.
Okay.
They haven't reached that level of intelligence
Maybe
yet.
You should leave out that book. What's that book? The Stuart Little? Is that the mouse?
Mm-hmm.
The mouse that like sails around? Maybe make it a little sailboat and see if it will just get, maybe make it the Titanic.
Just leave. You know what I started to do? I just started to collect stuff around my couch that I could throw that wouldn't put dents in the walls. So I'm trying to bean a mouse now.
Got it.
So I'm probably going to just go to the store and
your
buy.
Your arm's not very good.
That's pretty good. I'm going to buy like maybe a dozen tennis balls. And just keep them on my
couch.
But
then Leroy's just going to go for the tennis balls.
Now, Leroy, see, you would think that, but Leroy's too lazy to get up.
Ooh, we don't make those jokes.
Oh, sorry, Hank.
Yeah. Oh, damn.
You got any more?
Damn.
No, that's it. That's,
oh, damn.
You got one?
That's why
oh,
who's
damn.
Back.
Oh, damn. That's a good. That's like a turn back to Hank.
My other who's back of the week is dehydration.
Yes.
Because Odell Beckham says that he doesn't like the way water tastes and it makes him feel squishy inside, which is probably, I mean, it makes sense that Odell doesn't like water because he's always chilling on boats trying to stay he's trying to stay above it.
How wild is that take? And then people were actually debating, like I saw people being like, hey, hot take, I actually think water stinks. How can you not like water?
Mm-hmm.
Water keeps you alive. Or
it's building
in Philly,
blocks
it's water.
Of life.
Yeah.
Building blocks of life. Water is great, but it can also kill you. So
if you drink too much?
Yeah, if you drink too much or drown.
Yeah.
So it kills.
Dick Cheney waterboard some people?
That actually makes you tell the truth.
Yeah, that's true.
So maybe Odell would, he'd start start being more honest with the Mara family.
Yeah.
With Mr. Mara.
If you
always
got
have to call him. You'll always have to call him Mr. Mara, by the way.
Holy shit. I mean, I think we just figured out all the Giants' problems.
Odell Beckham.
If the Mara family just brought in Dick Cheney as like a special consultant,
mm-hmm.
and he just started waterboarding Odell Beckham so that he would be like, hey, Odell. Like, do you actually think Eli sucks?
Yeah, well, Cheney knows how to handle a shotgun offense better than Eli does.
True. Also true. A lot of things that Dick Cheney could clean up for the New York Giants. Okay. Is Dick Cheney alive?
Fact check, yes.
Okay. Because I saw that new Christian Bale movie, and I was like, he must be dead if this is happening.
I think that movie is a weapon. Like, I think that movie is actually going to kill Dick Cheney when he sees it.
Yeah, because it's basically like, hey, Dick Cheney, all the shit anyone who's read about you knows is now going to be in a movie for all us dumb people who don't read.
Yes, exactly.
That's got to be a guy's worst nightmare, to be like, hey, I know that people could read up about me and find out some really fucked up shit, but thank God there's not a movie for all the dummies out there.
Yeah. Well, fortunately for me, the vast majority of America doesn't read anything. So.
Right. So now you're screwed because there's a movie and it looks pretty good. All right, let's do our interview with Dave Damashek. We talk Stillers. We talk the league in general. Go all over.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Okay, we now welcome on our good friend. It's been a long time. It's good to have him back. It is Dave Damashek. You can get him. You can get all of him at NFL.com, the Dave Damashek football program. Also, the Dave's of Thunder podcast, the greatest name of a podcast ever, Dave's of Thunder. You can listen to him there. Damashek, it is great to hear your voice.
Hello?
It's great to hear your stupid Pittsburgh accent.
Hey there, Dave. How's it going?
Let's start with your Stillers. How are you feeling about
this? Hey, dude. I told you, and Roethlisberger would get it done, dude. He went into Cincy and he did what he always done. He took down them Bungles, dude. What else is new?
He owns Ohio. So, but tell us where do you land on the Mike Tomlin has lost control of the locker room and you root for a bunch of assholes when you actually look at it?
Yeah, no, well, listen, it's hard for me to refute when the star player doesn't even show up for the first couple of months of the year. But I don't listen. Well, let's see what happens. I mean, what are we going to do at this point? Are we going to kick Tomlin to the curb? It will be very sad, though, if this window closes. The Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown. Roethlisberger's a Hall of Famer. Antonio Brown's the best receiver since Randy Moss. And Le'Veon Bell's the best running back in the game. And are they really never even going to get to a Super Bowl together? If that happens, then I do think you have to point at Tomlin. It's kind of like being a Packers fan. For the last 27 years, they've never had worse than the third best quarterback in the NFL, and yet they only have the same number of rings as Dilfer and Flacco have given to Baltimore. Mm-hmm. So,
love that.
It's the same. It's the same level of a vexing sort of fandom if you have those high end guys and you don't do that much with them.
So yeah, you brought up the big Le'Veon Bell question. Nobody knows what's going to happen, when he's going to come back, if he's going to practice, if he's going to actually put effort out there, or if he's just going to kind of make things a nuisance for Tomlin. Are you right now, if I were to ask you, how confident are you on a scale of we'll give you a scale of 1 to 3, how confident are you that the Steelers win the AFC North?
I think the Ravens are going to end up winning it at this point. The way they look, and they already have the win in Hines, that's the big one. And it seems like those two teams always split, but the Steelers swept them last year, so maybe the Ravens get them back this season. I do think the Steelers are now – I mean, the thing that's bad is that, everybody now is – everybody in Pittsburgh, it's all fixed now. The Steelers are ready to go, except look at the second half of their schedule. It's a misery, although – I don't know. By the way, I do have to issue you condolences, Big Cat. A lot of guts doing the show tonight with what happened to Blake.
Watch it with the Blake stuff.
Yeah, the Bears. Listen, I said it before, but the Bears, that game, it was so weird because I was watching the game and I wasn't motherfucking the Patriots for beating the Bears, because I had that when the schedule came out as a loss. I was sitting there being like, I still can't believe we lost to Brock Osweiler, because those are the losses that just hang over your head for the rest of the season. It's like the when you look at the schedule, when it comes out, whenever it does in April or whatever it is, you say, okay, it's going to be tough to beat the Patriots because it's still Tom Brady. But Brock Osweiler or Ryan Tannehill, that should be a win, and that now is a loss going forward. So I appreciate your condolences on that.
I admire you for doing the show, and PFT too. His boy Flacco did everything he could to do the E-word thing, and then the kicker who never misses missed one. So I feel for both of you, but I'm proud to be with you on this auspicious night when you overcome so much.
Personally. Thank you. First of all, thank you for complimenting us. Secondly, I don't know if you saw Flacco when he lines up as a wide receiver. He actually cares less about pretending he's a wide receiver than Jay Cutler did. And I didn't think that was possible. But he walks backwards. I actually kind of love watching him play.
I love it. It's so spiteful. It's not passive aggressive. Although he's not moving, so I guess that's passive. But it's so aggressive to the Ravens organization. Mm-hmm. Such an FU to the organization. How dare you draft somebody when you've got me here?
Yeah, he's aggressively passive aggressive, and I love that. Speaking of AFC North football, I was wondering when you guys are going to stop your bad faith attacks on Vontaze Burfict.
Yeah, it really is unfair already, and I joined Bengals owner Mike Brown, who thinks that these sorts of penalties are making the sport less attractive, because I think one thing that we can all rally behind, yes, we're fractured 32 times over, but I think we all can take a step back and admire the man that Vontaze Burfict is and what he does for the National Football League. This league needs more men like that.
Correct.
I agree with the shame of going after poor Vontaze.
Are you in the camp that he should be suspended for the rest of the year?
I mean, it was crazy. You guys saw those plays, right? I mean, what was he doing other than trying to injure people? I mean, it was not. They were beyond, and people love to throw it because I'm a Steelers fan. Well, you loved the Steelers when me and Joe and Jack Lambert did it. Yes, but two things. One, it was legal then. Now it's not. And two, these guys are, they're 60 pounds heavier. So when they throw themselves helmet first at each other, the injuries are more severe. So no. So I think he should be suspended.
Wow.
He's not even trying to make. He's not trying to make. I mean, I don't care if he's the whole season, but sure, he should be shelved for 4 or 5 games.
It's AFC North football, though,
yeah,
Dave.
That's a great spin zone for you.
That's true.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. That is AFC North football.
Yeah.
You're right.
You mentioned, and I want to bring it up because it is something that is going to be a news story tomorrow. What do you think the Jaguars do going forward? And remember, we're best friends with Blake Bortles, so be very careful and very nice with what you say next.
I know that you have you've led the way on opening America's eyes where Blake Bortles isn't concerned when everybody else was treating him like a punchline. You elevated him, mm-hmm. and I dare say that you had a significant role in the 2017 Jaguars advancing to the AFC title game. All that, though, rearview mirror now. I think Blake, you know, not much like his doppelganger, the guy who he is Ben Roethlisberger. It's freaky that they both, the day they arrived in the NFL, respectively, they were both 37 years old. And Bortles now, like Roethlisberger did a fortnight ago, must now take a long look in the mirror and decide to carry this football team or shame the devil. I mean, what are they going to do? Go with Cody Kessler at this point? That would be more ridiculous than sticking with Blake Bortles, right? They can't go with a guy named Cody. How much faith would the rest of the team have? How far can they fall from grace in a 3-week stretch here?
Yeah, right. Cody can win a lot of Pac-12 games.
Cody,
but he can't win in the NFL.
Yeah, Cody is a great name if you want your son to be really good at the rodeo.
Yeah, or a skateboarder.
Something intimidating and
tough. Okay, yeah, those are two decent professions you've just laid out there. But, yeah, I often like, you know, names like Carl are weird names. Todd Haley, by the way, stole my bit in the preseason when he did the whole, that's a weird name for a baby. Carl's a weird name for an infant. You know, so another weird name for a baby is Todd. Todd the baby. Isn't he adorable? Look at how cute he is. What's his name? Todd is a terrible name. Cody's the other way. Cody's a cute name for a baby.
Uh-huh.
But people lacked the long-term vision, the parents who named him that. This person, we hope, is going to grow up and be an adult at some point. We're not doing him any favors calling him Cody.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Let's...
So Blake's the answer. You know, yeah. Blake's got swagger just in name alone.
I'm scared. All right, let's talk a little NFC football in general. So I have a question for you. Who is the second best team in the NFC? Because I feel like it's obviously the Rams are the juggernaut. They're undefeated. They look like they can just beat everyone every which way. But there is kind of a mishmash of teams where you're like, okay, those teams are good, but I don't really know. So who would you say? Like, rank your NFC teams after the Rams.
You guys been watching the Redskins? Hello? Oh, wait, no, it's not them. But that's your first place team in the NFC East is sad. And the Eagles are good because they still have that pass rush and they've added to it, and it'll only get better as the year goes along. But it's clear in the fourth quarter that's what they miss with not having Jay Ajayi or LeGarrette Blount. That's going to be a bad thing, and I don't know what the fix is out there on the open market for them to get that guy who can just grind the defense when you need him to. The Packers, I like their defense a lot, and they do tend to get better. Maybe that's just anecdotal on my part. I don't go with any actual facts. I just go with what I think is to what I believe is
yes.
true.
Yes.
It seems like Aaron Rodgers gets better in the second half of the season. Does it? It always seems like they're
yes.
always behind the eight ball. That loss that I thought they were going to get handed on Monday night, I thought, what, is he going to do the relaxing again? Does he have mm-hmm. a new bit cooked up for 2018? But either way, I think they'll get better. That defense should be good over the course of the year. So maybe they're the answer. But, man, that is now that you bring it up, that's a grim question because the Saints don't really have much of a defense. Maybe it's the Panthers, but can you really trust in them? The thing
nope.
that what strikes me this year so far is if you ask anybody outside of Baltimore, what's wrong with your team? Everybody says, well, we have no defense. That's true for every single team, like I say, besides the Ravens right now, that nobody has any defense. Every game, it seems like, is or just about is turning into a shootout. I guess I'll go to answer your question once and for all. I'll say it's going to be the Packers by the time it's all done.
Okay, so you failed because I was looking, I was fishing for a compliment. You to be like the NFC North, the last place in the NFC North, the Chicago Bears, they look like they could really put it together. But you failed on that. That's okay. That's okay.
I'm sorry. No. I feel bad, but I said this about the Jags 2 years ago when everybody was hip on them, that they all look out for the Jags. I said, they're a year away, and so they were. I said that in August about your Bears. I said 2019 will be their year. You watch. They'll be dangerous. The sleeper team that I was talking about, pointing to for everybody in August, that nobody still is talking about, the Detroit Lions.
Ooh, okay.
How about that? They beat the Packers. They beat the Patriots. Those are good wins. Now they're back to even 3-3. They're running the ball. That looms more prominent in the second half of NFL seasons. I don't think they're gonna. I'm not gonna make hay in January, but I wouldn't be surprised if they wind up with a wild card.
The problem with the Lions is, and this happens with idiots like the three of us, is if you suffer a big time national TV loss, I can never get out of my head. Mm-hmm. So when you say Lions, I'm like, oh, yeah, they lost to Sam Darnold by 50 points at home, even though they did beat the Patriots and they did beat the Packers. But those losses, it's like I need the Men in Black erase memory move after a big loss. So I judge all my bets off that from that point.
You need Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind
to
get that relationship out of your head.
Right.
What about you didn't mention the Vikings. I think the Vikings are another team that's going to get better as the season goes on, especially if they can get Dalvin Cook. I don't know what his deal is and how injured he is, but if they can get him back, the defense is really good. Thielen, here's a take. I think Thielen's the best wide receiver in the NFL right now.
Mm.
Boom. I said it, but I also think that Kirk Cousins is too big of a nerd to ever win a Super Bowl. What are your comments?
I'm with you about them largely. I think Dalvin Cook, if he gets back and starts playing like he was, I mean, but then again, we are sort of hanging our hats on Dalvin Cook, who we saw play well for about like 3 weeks, right, last year.
Yep.
Is that about how long he was good and healthy? And
yep.
Ever since then, we just, Dalvin Cook's the key to where the Vikings go this year. But yeah, it seems like their defense is getting better. And I'm with you on Kirk Cousins. And I, you know, all the serious football guys, they scoff at, I don't know where you guys come down on this, but I think it matters if the guy has never gone to a Super Bowl. And I think it does matter if you win Super Bowls and you win playoff games and people, oh, it's Kirk Cousins' fault that the DB last year, the Kirk Cousins, that the Skins defense was crummy 2 years ago when they got to the playoffs or whenever that was 3 years ago. Yeah, it is their fault. When you're the guy making all the loot and all that kind of stuff, then yes, let's not get egalitarian all of a sudden about hey, it's the ultimate team game. No, then why does he make $30 million? He's got to carry the team. I'm with you guys. I don't think he's, I've yet to see anything that leads me to believe, yes, he's worth $30 million and will obscure all the other flaws on the Vikings.
Right. He basically thinks he's living inside of a TED Talk right now, and his job, he like reads too many motivational quotes and like self-help books. I don't trust a guy like that, Dave.
I you know what? I'm absolutely with you, because you know why? He's trying to convince himself of something.
Yeah.
I feel like you talk about the eternal set. You think Roethlisberger's sitting around in his quiet moments having those sorts of discussions with himself? He's not going deep.
Roethlisberger has no inner monologue. And we actually like Roethlisberger. I know it called them all assholes, but we the Steelers, not to go back to the Steelers because you are a Steelers guy, but I'll give the Steelers credit. They are always very, very interesting, and they always, you know, demand headlines and give you fodder for guys like us who are in sports media.
Yeah, but it's like if you don't see, well, you have to in the 21st century as a Steelers fan, even though they did break through and get a couple of Super Bowls there, and I know that's obnoxious if you're a Browns fan or whatever to lament the state of the Steelers, but there you have to just focus on the AFC North, because you know if they get into January and the Patriots are going to be there, well then we can't beat them.
You can't beat Blake Bortles either.
That's also true. Yes,
yes.
As Maurice Jones-Drew will tell you, he now has the keys to the city of Pittsburgh, thanks to Blake Bortles. But and you know, by the way, Maurice Jones-Drew had his young children pelt Steelers fans with snowballs at that playoff game last year.
Good.
Disgraceful.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Hey, yeah, we play this game with everyone who works for NFL.com. You are a corporate shill for the league, so go ahead. Why don't you carry Roger Goodell's water?
What do you want me to specifically address?
What did he send in a memo recently? Like, what's the company line that you're trying to push down our throats? Go ahead, Dave.
These rules changes have absolutely nothing to do with the uptick in offense. So I don't know what you're watching, but that has nothing to do with any of it.
Bravo.
Period.
Bravo. Great job. There it is. That was the memo that you probably got last week. I like that.
The thing I want, though, it's too sunny now. The global warming now has it sunny out for too long. Aren't we supposed to now be watching the games? Even in L.A., it makes it even worse. I like to see the games in the Midwest and in the northern climes. I like it to be, I like it to rain. Mm-hmm. Or I like it to be gray out. It's all sunny. And by the way, how obnoxious was that Browns and Buccaneers game to look at? You know, it was really stomach churning with the sun and those uniform colors.
Terrible.
It looked like Halloween with the color schemes and everything else. And I wish I had the black and white option on my TV when I'm watching a game like that. It was maybe that's the thing that Commissioner Goodell needs to address first is the state of uniforms out there.
I like that. Make every team that's above, let's say, Kansas, that's more north than Kansas, play outside. So that way we can get some nice snow football like we saw in Wisconsin this weekend. It's a much better product when there's precipitation.
Or when it's so cold that the helmets chip. That's my favorite thing, when the paint chips off because it's so cold.
When they take their head steam and all stuff. And that's the best stuff that up in Lambeau, that they serve soup. One of the best things is that they serve the players the soup, the chicken broth, but only the Packers get it. Add that to the lore of sports, that's better than the Celtics with the dead spots on the old Boston Garden floor, and only the home players knew where those things were. This is even better. The Packers, when it's cold out, only give the home team the chicken broth. Mm-hmm. I think that's the best.
Well, that was actually McNabb's mom. She started that trend for the Eagles, but the Packers just kind of co-opted it.
Is that right?
Yeah. You remember those commercials?
I could have sworn it went
back further. I can't believe there ain't no chicken in this soup. Don't hog it out.
Dave, I want to get your take on something. You're a big L.A. guy. Why is Los Angeles such a bad sports town and they won't support the Chargers?
It's super weird, actually, I think. And I think, by the way, that's going to end up being your Super Bowl is the Rams and the Chargers. And the Chargers should have beaten the Chiefs in week one, and we'll see what happens even with Mahomes is better than Alex Smith, but there's no guarantee that they're not going to slide back a little bit. What are they going to go, 15-1? So if they fall back a little bit, the Chargers are going to jump if they get Joey Bosa back. Imagine that. If they get the injuries that they always are plagued by, maybe the football gods smile on them in late autumn 2018 and finally give them close to a healthy team, and then they lay waste to the AFC, including Tom Brady. That's how, that's kind of how it's worked. And I feel like Phil Rivers has been snake bit by the Patriots. Wouldn't it be nice if for 17 to get over the hump and get to the Super Bowl in Atlanta, back at home, back to in the region of the country where he was reared? I think that would be a fun story. Finally put to bed the Eli versus Phil Rivers debate, which is a silly one anyway.
It is, and I agree. Phil Rivers is probably the most underrated quarterback of our time. He's for sure a Hall of Famer, and he hasn't had, he went to the AFC Championship game early in his career, but he hasn't had that deep run where people write the puff pieces about Phil Rivers and they're like, hey, guess what, America? Phil Rivers has been good for a really long time. So I agree. I would like to see Phil Rivers get some media pub there.
It would be cool if he could make a deep run there, but and who's even left now? The Jags? I mean, Blake is going to turn it around.
Yes. Yes.
But, I don't.
Yeah. Yeah,
we know that's going to happen, but that notwithstanding, It feels to me like, doesn't this just feel like we already know the Patriots? I'm trying to make a case for the Chargers or somebody else. But isn't it? It's going to be the Patriots again.
Well, it's because your Steelers can't beat them. Yeah.
It also, I think Gronk's back is going to be a big question, because like that might not be something that he can just bounce back from like he has in the past. Like that offense without Rob Gronkowski is completely different. They're very beatable, I think.
I guess so, but Josh Gordon kind of sort of can pick up some of those catches. At this point, as long as the Bengals don't go to the Super Bowl to represent the AFC. Now that the Capitals, because I need to have something. Now that the Capitals have gotten over finally, then now I can't just regard them as mere punchline, as amusing sideshow. You know, like my real rival in hockey is the Flyers, and you know the Caps have been laughable, but now they have a cup, and it sickens me. You know, the Ravens are an actual rival of the Steelers because sometimes they win. The Bungles never win any game of significance. So as long as we can keep them down, at this point, I'm kind of willing to call 2018 a success.
You mentioned Joey Bosa earlier. Who would you rather have if you were to take one of these two defensive linemen for the rest of their careers? Would you rather have Joey Bosa or TJ Watt?
Oh, I would. Well, I mean, I assume Bosa's going to come back healthy. I would definitely take Bosa. I've said this before. I'll say it again to you now. Joey Bosa looks exactly like a guy named Joey Bosa.
Yes, he does.
Absolutely.
Isn't he like he's the perfect name for that guy?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And his brother Nick. They're like two bullies that steal
Bosa.
Your bike.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right. My last question is a SeatGeek question. Put in promo code TAKE. You get $10 off your SeatGeek purchase. We're here with Dave Damashek. You can check him out. His podcast, Days of Thunder, and the Dave Damashek Football Show. I have this question, and I don't know how you want to answer it, but I always think about this. You obviously worked on the Man Show back in the day. Do you ever think about back, like, you're like, man, that show would not play in 2018?
Oh, I it's so funny. I talk about that with, you know, Sal and all those guys. I talk about, we laugh about that all the time. What could, in 2018, what could we get away with now that we did get away? I mean, I wrote a... I don't even want to go into it. I've just started to talk about bits that ran that plenty of people already watched, but now I'm ashamed. I'm not ashamed of them, but I don't want to bring them up because I don't want anybody searching for them.
Right.
See?
Right.
He's politically incorrect. We can't have him. You know, we can't let him on our airspace anymore. But I'm completely with you about that. But I've also said to you guys, the last time I talked to you, I think, I said to you, you two would be the perfect guys to go in and start a new man show.
Ooh,
the guys.
I think you
show.
Guys could do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on, well, yeah, you guys come on. You're clever fellas. Yeah. Name it what you want. But I think you could do that show.
What about the man show for men? Kind of alpha you a little bit.
Okay. By guys. Yeah.
I like this is going in a very good direction.
Yes.
I just want a consulting fee on it. That's all I'll ask.
Yeah, do you ever look back and you're like, well, Cousin Sal, who was, you know, worked with you on the show, now he basically has the best job in the world where he talks about gambling all the time for a living?
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep. I envy him.
Yes.
I envy him, yes. I don't know what he... I mean, I think he sometimes... I've heard him do something with, like, numbers that are in half and stuff. Like, I don't know. I don't even know. I don't even know what that's all
yeah.
about. Gambling on football? I don't even know what that is about. But yeah, I've heard tell that that's what he talks about on his program.
Okay, so you guys are trying to bounce in the right direction. You're playing against the Browns. Are you a little concerned that Hugh Jackson is such a tough guy to game plan against because he has no idea what he's doing? So it's like trying to debate against a crazy person. They don't play by the same rules. Like he could do anything at any given time.
I mean, is there a more magnificent trio that in recent memory than the head coach, the offensive coordinator, and the defensive coordinator? I don't know if you noticed this, but Greg Williams. It's really funny because he swears a lot. And like he lets everybody know it, and it's a super funny thing that never gets tired that he swears a lot apparently. But that's his chief characteristic. But now Hugh, I don't know if you heard, announced after the loss in overtime to the mighty Bucks that he's going to have a stronger hand now in offensive
play. Yes, thank God. Yes.
He's the head coach, and he can't have this. That's going to go great.
Yeah, I'm
sure. Him and Todd Haley now, this is going to be hysterical.
Yeah, Todd, he's a guy that will relinquish power without much of a fuss, I feel.
Going to go down nice and smooth, just like New Year's Eve did for Haley on the banks of the Three Rivers.
Yeah, we need the Hard Knocks cameras to get back up just for Monday morning when Hugh Jackson tries to tell Todd Haley that he's taking over.
You're absolutely right about that. Yeah, we need a little mini series up and running here just for 1 week. Give it to us.
That's all we want.
You know, Steelers week. We gotta have that.
Yeah. All right, Dave. Thank you so much as always. Best of luck to your Steelers and everyone. Check out all the stuff Dave's doing. It's great stuff. Great football stuff. He's a football guy's guy. Dave, thank you. We'll talk soon, man.
Hey, fellas, you're the best. Happy for you and all the success you're having. Shout out to my guys, Coley and Tyler. Hope they're doing well.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
Mixtape guys.
Yes. The all right. Best.
Best basketball show out there. I love
Absolutely.
Them.
Agreed. Thanks, Dave.
I love you, Dave.
All the best, fellas. Congratulations again on them Caps, PFT.
Thank you. Thank
you.
It feels good to be a champion.
There you go.
I love you.
I'm sure it does.
Love you.
I love you.
All right. Nice. That interview with Dave Damashek was brought to you.
Hey guys, it's Big Cat and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern. For the first time since Rough and Rowdy 1, every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
That interview is also brought...
Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started.
I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy.
Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
That's also what I frequently... they should just let you search M on YouPorn.
Okay, let's get to some segments. First up, we have NBA Petty Wars.
We invented that.
So we invented that. Please credit us. NBA Twitter is very upset that we are talking about football. We're talking about baseball. We're not talking enough about basketball. So they decided to stage a fight.
By the way, I just referred to this as preseason basketball until Christmas.
Yes, 100%. So except LeBron's 0-2, and that still counts.
Yeah, well, the losses absolutely count for superstars.
Absolutely count. So what happened was... there was a hard foul in the Rockets-Lakers game. Brandon Ingram pushed James Harden. Seemed like that was going to be everything. Then Rondo and Chris Paul got into it. There was some finger pointing. There was an alleged spit and then some punches thrown. Now, the fallout here is Chris Paul got 2 games, Rondo got 3, Ingram got 4 because Ingram did try to throw a punch on top of all the punches.
Mm-hmm.
Hilarious suspensions because this is a players league. Like, they were full on throwing punches and that's all they got.
Yeah.
Which I actually respect, being like, you know what, these guys make us a lot of money, why the hell would we suspend them for more than a couple games?
Well, I mean, you never see a fight like this in hockey breakout.
Yeah,
and it's just sad that there were kids watching at home when all this happened. But I'm a little bit confused why Rondo didn't get more of a suspension for spitting on somebody.
So that is the big question. There's been videos, there's been studying of videos. Chris Paul said that he was spat on by Rondo. Rondo, I don't know if Rondo made a statement or anything, but that has been like the prevailing. It all escalated because Rondo spat on Chris Paul. Now, Hank came in today, and Rondo is one of his favorite athletes of all time, correct?
Yeah.
So how do you feel about Rondo and LeBron?
Like, it hurts.
How do you – yeah, you're rooting for LeBron.
No, I'm not.
So but you kind of are if you're rooting for Rondo to succeed.
I wasn't at all, and then once this fight played out, like, all my old emotions came
back. All your old Rondo emotions.
Because you see LeBron take Chris Paul's side, you see him not care about Rondo, and then afterwards everyone was just throwing allegations against Rondo without any
visual evidence of.
Okay, so here's the science experiment. Hank has come in, and his spin zone is it is impossible to spit.
No, this is what the Lakers said.
Okay, so the Lakers said it is impossible to spit while having a mouth guard in your mouth. And Rondo had a mouth guard in his mouth. So we have purchased mouth guards. This is going to be bad radio, but we are going to see. I'm going to actually wet my whistle real quick beforehand.
We've molded these mouth guards, too. We did the thing where we dip them in water, boiled them. It's a perfect fit to my teeth right now. So we're going to see if it's possible to
spit while mouth guarding.
Mouth guarding.
Yeah.
Okay,
protect your
guard. Yeah.
My mouth was in.
Yo, fuck you, bitch.
Fuck you, Christopher.
You never won a ring.
You
never won a ring.
No one wants you on the banana boat.
Listen, you're just ring chasing out in L.A. because you're scared of the Boston Celtics out in the East.
Nope.
I spit.
Mm-mm.
No, you can spit. You can spray. You can spray.
You sprayed.
All right, I'll come over to you.
What's worse?
I'm going over to Hank's desk and spray his face.
Go over spit on Hank. What's worse, getting spit or getting sprayed on?
I'm spraying on you,
Hank. Are you getting hit with anything?
No, nothing. I don't feel anything. Nope.
I'm like a whale.
You can 100% spit.
But none of the people around him reacted whatsoever. Yeah, you didn't touch me with anything.
Yeah, Hank just said he didn't get hit, so I'm going to trust the guy that got spit on.
The best part, by the way, was LeBron grabbing Chris Paul because he's like, yo, listen, some things are deeper than teammates, the banana boat. Mm-hmm. Let's save our vacation on the yacht.
And they just hugged.
Yeah.
They hugged it out. It was great.
He's like, I do not want to stop doing these awesome vacations and Instagramming all the new music that I get that no one else can listen to first.
I would like to have the NBA start to issue suspensions for liking the wrong Instagram posts or like liking petty tweets and
petty
tweeting
worse.
Out emoji stuff. Because like, what's worse, getting spit on or getting memed?
Yeah.
I would say getting memed.
Memed is way worse.
You can wipe away spit.
What just happened, by the way? Breaking moves. What just happened in that NFL game, not hitting the over, is a national tragedy. It needs to be investigated. Yes, it is. It just went final.
Oh, wow.
And it needs to be investigated because I do not know how that over didn't hit. It's fucking ridiculous that the Bengals only scored 10 points against the Chiefs defense. I need it investigated.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very distraught.
What happened to make you so distraught?
The over didn't hit.
But how?
The fucking Chiefs went for it on fourth down at the 2-yard line and got stuffed when they could have just kicked a field goal. Andy Reid, have a little compassion for us. You're a fat guy. I'm a fat guy.
They went for it up 35.
Some of us need a bailout in the fucking Sunday night game, and you fucked us.
Mm-hmm.
You fucked us, Andy Reid. You fucked us. Okay.
I don't think
I don't feel better, by the way. You know, sometimes like you rant and then you're like, I feel better. No, I feel worse.
Yeah, you got yourself all worked up.
Oh, and I'll be worked up until tomorrow night. And if the over doesn't hit tomorrow night, then that's called tilt.
Yeah,
okay? That's a little friend of mine called tilt. And shit gets real bad real fast in the cat cave when tilt happens.
Mm-hmm. And you're not on tilt right now?
Nope.
Not yet.
I'm totally calm.
You're fine.
I'm going to hammer the over tomorrow night. I'm totally calm.
You're fine.
Okay.
Hopefully they waterboard Odell beforehand.
Get back on track. All right. Dead or alive? Tommy Lasorda.
Alive, very much alive and thriving.
Yes.
He's got a big bushy tail. He's walking confidently. He was getting sprayed with champagne, and he was wearing a poncho to protect himself from I guess, hypothermia. Is that what they were worried about?
I think so. After the DS, he just went with the winter coat, the Dodgers winter coat, and I think he got a little too wet.
Mm-hmm.
So they went poncho this time, and the Dodgers have advanced. We're going to talk a little baseball now, so be careful, everyone at home. Actually, no, if you have a young child, bring them into the room because it's America's pastime. Dodgers, Red Sox.
Classic World
Holy
Series.
Shit, did MLB luck out.
Way to stay relevant, baseball.
They lucked out. Imagine a Houston-Milwaukee World Series.
Well, Houston's like the fourth biggest market in America.
Yeah, true. But anyone watch?
Not outside of Houston.
Yeah, not out of
Houston. Because if people outside of Houston paid closer attention to Houston, they'd be like, I'm definitely not ever going to Houston.
Yeah. So it's going to be a fun series. I hope Tommy Lasorda stays alive. I also am going to do something, boys. I'm going to say something nice. And I don't want this to seem like I'm being like, patronizing.
Mm-hmm.
Patronizing. How do you say that?
Patronizing.
Patronizing. Yeah, I'm
patronizing
still,
is when you.
If you can't tell, I'm still upset about that over.
Mm-hmm.
The Brewers. That was a really nice season. And guess what? Your NL Central flag flies forever.
That's very true.
So good job.
Can't wait for them to lower the banner.
Guess what? They were very good, okay? I'm going to say it right now. The Brewers were very good. They were a better team than the Cubs. I'm finally admitting it that they've been eliminated.
Yeah, there was a little case of just bad luck with the with that last game. Christian Yelich hit balls like two outfielders instead of finding the gap.
Yep.
And then Yasiel Puig hit a very lucky home run that was like, what, a three-run homer?
And then DX'd
and
everyone.
And then DX'd everybody. That was very lucky.
Bob Costas.
They just smashed the shit out of the ball.
I wish Bob Costas was calling that game because he would have puked everywhere.
Yeah, he would have gotten another case of pink eye from it.
Oh, my God. He would have been so upset.
Just from getting his face shoved into Yasiel Puig's ass.
Yeah. Speaking of weird infections, Chris Sale was out, was sick, and then told everyone that it was because of a belly button ring infection, which is a hilarious thing to say. Turns out it wasn't true, but there was a moment there. There was a couple hours where it was true.
Where everybody thought Chris
and it was
had
awesome.
A belly button ring. And I would respect that if he had a ring.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you got to stay hot.
Got to stay hot. You got to stay
for the younger people.
Listen, do kids still get belly button rings? Because there was a law passed, I think, in like 1999 or 2000, where every college freshman girl had to pierce her belly button.
Yes, yes.
I don't know if they retracted that. Are they still doing that, Hank?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, nice. You got to. I mean, it's kind of it's
and then,
a hot look.
Yeah, then you have to take it out like 5 years later.
Belly buttons and like upper ears.
Upper ears is really hot.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And little tattoos.
I'm thinking about getting a Prince Albert.
You want Hank to do it for you?
Yeah, Hank. Right, I want Tim Tebow to do it for me.
Mm-hmm. He'll do it. He'll get around
he'll
that.
Get right in there.
So, predictions?
Sox in six.
Ooh, wow. Not very confident, Hank. Sox in five.
I just hope it's six.
I'm a bigger Red Sox fan than Hank
so I can go to game six.
I think this
is going
to go seven.
For being perfectly honest.
You think so?
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
I'd probably say Red Sox in seven.
Are we going to get the David Price, Clayton Kershaw matchup? That's what I want.
Maybe.
I don't think so unless it goes late in the series.
The very stoppable force against the extremely movable object.
It's going to be a good series, though. I think like the Dodgers they're a good team, and Manny Machado is the heel.
And they have like the Dave Roberts magic against the Red Sox.
Mm-hmm. And the Lasorda magic, too.
Yes.
Although Lasorda, to your point where you think that if the Red Sox win, you're killing Tommy Lasorda, I think you're actually the opposite because the Red Sox win, then Tommy Lasorda has something to live for.
With the next one?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
If he wins, then he can die happy.
I can absolutely see him just closing his eyes.
Nice spin zone you got there, Hank. Uh-huh. I'm still going with Tommy Lasorda's going to die if the Red Sox win. Well, we're all going to die.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not Tommy, actually. He's gone a lot farther than I think a lot of people expected.
Yeah, he'll kick death's ass.
Yeah. All right, we have a Stay Classy Michigan. So Michigan State played this weekend. Devin Bush before the game. Now, he was provoked a little bit because Michigan State did that thing where they lined up and they walked the entire field and kind of like ran into the guys.
Wait, are you
stretching?
Saying that Bush didn't start a preemptive attack?
Yes.
Okay.
I am.
All right.
Exactly that. Exactly that. So he got roughed up, but like they were shoving, and then he went and basically scratched out or tried to scratch. You can't scratch out an entire logo.
He just stomped on it.
He stomped on it. He did a little damage, and then they fixed it.
I like stomping.
Yeah.
Stomping needs to come back.
Yes.
They just put an Ndamukong Suh out there before the game and have him just tear up the logo. It's cool. I like that shit. It's cool. They did the world's largest game of Red Rover before kickoff and walked across the field, which I guess is a Michigan State tradition.
Yes.
That's the most Michigan State thing ever.
Yes.
We all walk across the field arm in arm, and whoever's in our way has to like politely ask to get by. And we will let them by if they ask.
I agree with you, though. It's a rivalry game.
Yeah.
Let rivalry games – people had some hot takes. Stay classy. How could you do this? I also love how serious people take logos.
Mm-hmm.
Logos.
Don't step on
it. Don't stand on that logo that they put in the middle of the fucking locker room.
Mm-hmm.
A giant logo, and you're not supposed to step on it.
Mm-hmm.
I love that shit.
What if he just thought, you know how in NASCAR sometimes there are those invisible fires? I know it was in the Ricky Bobby movie, but it's like a real thing. That's like an invisible fire. Maybe there was an invisible fire midfield. He's trying to stomp it out.
Mm.
Maybe he saved the entire stadium.
That's true.
Just so that he could kick your ass in it.
Maybe he was hallucinating. Piss check.
That's true. Yes.
Jim Harbaugh won a big game, though.
A huge game.
Rivalry.
And the trophy that you get from this game is one of the best ones. The Paul Bunyan trophy.
Yeah, there's like three or four Paul Bunyan trophies in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
They're all awesome.
Yeah.
Every
game is a trophy game, right?
But it's great.
In the Big Ten?
Well, no, it's great because basically the entire Big Ten is like some kind of Paul Bunyan lore that you win.
How many states claim Paul Bunyan? Is it like how Abe Lincoln, also like Ohio and North Carolina are in like an ongoing license plate battle?
Wright
to see
brothers,
who claims the Wright brothers.
Yep.
Like, well, they were born here. Yeah, well, they invented the fucking airplane here.
Yeah. I think Paul Bunyan, everyone gets a piece of Paul Bunyan.
I like that.
So, all right, let's finish up with a whoa. So this is from the San Diego Chargers. I'm still calling them San Diego Chargers because the
Superchargers
should never have moved them, and it's bullshit and it's stupid. So the Chargers have figured out a way to defeat time zones.
Okay.
So this came out from their England game. They said, one Chargers source told Peter Schrager, time zones no longer exist at this point. To keep team on schedule, Chargers had position group meetings at 6 a.m. Saturday. Coaches were up at 4 a.m. All worth it when you have a 12-hour victory flight home, 5-2 on the bye.
So, whoa.
They beat it.
So they just woke up super early. Imagine explaining the concept of beating time to Andy Reid.
Or that or Phil Rivers.
Yeah.
Phil Rivers definitely doesn't. He's like, so where, at what point do I, am I down in the fourth?
Yeah.
Throwing the ball around?
Yeah, the fourth quarter still at the same time there.
Yeah,
right. Phillip Rivers, he doesn't believe in calendars. He doesn't believe in he has a biological clock.
Yes.
When he's like, it's time for me to spread my seed now.
Yeah. And which he's is like Wednesday.
Yeah, he's like a dandelion that releases its spores once a week. Yeah. That's his clock. But yeah, good for the Chargers. They had that knock against them where they couldn't travel east, just like somebody else that we all know had some problems traveling east.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, for years they were like the team that can't get it done. But we don't know. Where is the Prime Meridian? Do they travel west?
I don't know. I can't do that
we'll
shit.
We'll have to look into that.
I'm just getting ready for this fucking time change we got next week. Oh, breaking moves. Finish the show. Breaking moves.
J.R. Smith might be throwing some soup soon.
Uh-oh.
What's up?
Someone tweeted.
Petty Wars. We invented that.
Real question, why didn't at the real J.R. Smith play today? And he quote tweeted and said, not my choice.
Oh, Ty Lue, you are in trouble. Oh, you know what this is? J.R. Smith's trying to get traded to the Lakers.
Yep.
Fuck yes.
Yep.
Fuck yes.
That would be the most, yeah, JaVale and J.R. Smith on the same team.
And Lance Stephenson, who is like.
And Rondo.
Our job is going to be so easy.
Lance Stephenson tried to break up the fight. He was like the peacemaker. He's so crazy.
The low-key best part of that fight was that, like, 70% of the players didn't give a single fuck.
No.
Like, no cares in the world that their teammates were fighting.
Super team.
I also don't know when this will happen to my brain, but I'll tell you guys when this point happens, but every time, like, the Lakers or the Pacers or even, I think, the Knicks, when they get in a fight, I'm just waiting for Ron Artest to show up. Uh-huh. You know what I mean?
He was there last night.
Yeah, like I'm just like, here comes Ron. Where's Ron Artest? Mm-hmm. Like, he's got to throw a punch eventually in a jersey. So that moment hasn't come yet. I'll let you know when I stop waiting for Ron Artest to throw haymakers.
Don't let J.R. Smith get his hands on Skyline Chili, because if he were to throw that, it would get ugly real fast.
Yeah, real fast, real fast. Okay, that is our show. Wednesday, we have an awesome interview with Boomer Esiason. We went into the WFAN studios last Friday. It was a lot of fun. Shout out Gio. He was very accommodating. Shout out Al Dukes as well. And Tom Izzo. Not that Tom Izzo. A different Tom Izzo, which confused the fuck out of me when they kept on saying Tom Izzo. But those guys were awesome. Welcomed us in there. And we interviewed Boomer. And it's coming on Wednesday. We might just put Boomer in the title so that people think it's Chris Berman.
Yeah, that was my idea. Yeah.
We should just get those fucking hits way up.
Absolutely. So, way up. Yeah, Wednesday, Boomer finally joins the show. Love you guys.
Go, Charlie. It's your birthday. We gon' party like it's your birthday. We gon' sip for Cardi like it's your birthday. And you know we don't give up. It's not your birthday. You find me in the club. Bottle full of blood. Mama, I got what you need. If you need to fill a bar, I'm in the habit of sex. I ain't in the making love. So come give me a hug. You get in and get me rough. You can find me in the club. Bottle full of blood. Mama, I got what you need. If you need to fill a bar, I'm in the habit of sex. I ain't in the making love. So give me a hug, it's getting rough. When I pull up out front, you see the Benz on dub. When I roll 20 deep, so it's drama in the club. Now that I roll with Dre, everybody show me love. When you sell like a minute, money is what you love. Look, homie, ain't nothing changed. Roll down, G's up, I see exhibit in the cut, it man, roll the trees up. If you watch how I move, you step before I play up here. Been hit with a few shells, but I don't walk with a limp. In the hood, in the lady, saying 50, you hot. They like me, I want them to love me like they love pop. But I live in New York, shells, they tell you I'm local. When you're playing, need to put the back game in the choke. So I'm fully focused, man. My money on my mind, got a meal out the deal, and I'm still in. Now shorty says she feelin' my style, she feelin' my flow. A girlfriend, what did they buy, and they ready to go on the club. Bottle full of bug, mama, I got what you need. If you need to fill a bar, I'm gonna have the sex, I ain't in the
making love. So come give me a hug. It's getting rough. You can find me in the club. Bottle full of bug. Mama, I got what you need. If you need to fill the bar, I'm in the habit of it.
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Bar Stool Sports.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.